Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
Welcome to the Corlin Economics Report, a weekly look at financial and political topics relating to asset-based investing. Guests on this program pay no fees to appear, and guests and hosts disclose any equity interest in company's profile. Now, the Corlin Economics Report.
Hey, everyone. Welcome in to the weekend edition of the KE Report. I'm your host, Corey Fleck, also co-hosted here by Shad Marquette. Now, Shad and I are going to be discussing a lot of the moves in commodity sector again, but we are going to kick off this show with a focus a bit more on U.S. equity markets. Quite frankly, because U.S. equity markets were just steadily climbing. You look at the Dow, S&P, NASDAQ, for the last almost 2 weeks about, boy, oh boy, these markets have been kind of boring to the upside. We started to see a little bit of weakness earlier on this week, and I know there's still a lot of bears out there saying it just doesn't make sense that these markets keep on grinding, but it was quite the environment where day after day markets were up a quarter to a half percent, seemingly, again, every day, and they all reached new all-time highs. Shad and I are kicking off this show with Jesse Felder, founder and editor of the Felder Report. Now, Jesse, one thing we were chatting about off mic that you pointed out was this dispersion that we're seeing between markets continuing to move higher and breadth that really is cratered, especially in the NASDAQ. Take us through some of the data on this dispersion that we are seeing between the markets and overall breadth, please.
Yeah, well, it's been fascinating to watch, the NASDAQ power the markets higher over the last few weeks. We saw interest rates peak out, a few months ago and turn down, and that's been really kind of bullish for this, for a rebound in the growth versus value trade. But as a result of that, we've seen, I think the Russell 2000 peaked maybe back in March, sometime in the spring, and it's just moved sideways, hasn't made a new high, since. Even as the NASDAQ is powering higher, and, the NASDAQ has been taking the S&P 500 with it. But what we're seeing in the NASDAQ is literally the worst breadth readings in the history of that index, as it makes new highs. Sentiment Trader, my friend Jason Gepford, has been kind of all over this trend. He pointed out that I think it was yesterday when the NASDAQ closed at a 52-week high. It's done that on over 1,000 days, individual days, since 1984. On average, 50%, at least 50% of the stocks in the NASDAQ were advancing on the day that the market made a new high, that index. Yesterday, only 31% of the stocks were actually advancing when that index made a new high. So the vast majority of stocks actually were declining on a day that the index made a new high. And the majority of them are all below their own, moving averages, whether it's, you're talking about 50 or 200-day moving averages. I think there's a ton of stocks still trading below their 50-day moving averages within the NASDAQ, which is a pretty clear breadth warning. You can see it across different indexes, too. As I mentioned, S&P's pushing new highs is because it has such a heavy weighting towards these big NASDAQ names like Apple and Microsoft. But Russell 2000 is not. And you have the Dow, like you mentioned, the industrials are kind of pushing to new highs, but the transports are looking much weaker. And that's a classic Dow theory non-confirmation, which historically is kind of an economic warning, but it's also a stock market warning, pointing to that breadth is just not anywhere near as healthy as it should be right now.
Well, Jesse, that's a really interesting observation. So what do you think that means under the surface of things? Because a lot of people just track the indexes, but if there's more and more people piling into a more and more narrow field of companies, what does that actually mean under the surface for the strength of these markets? Are they in danger of having a corrective move here?
Well, I think one of the things I think is helpful to keep in mind is if you look at the pattern of the S&P 500 index going back to early 2018, to me it looks like a megaphone pattern or a broadening top pattern, whatever you choose to call it from a technical perspective. But Edwards and McGee, in their famous technical analysis book, call this broadening top pattern a quote-unquote market out of control. And, we've seen liquidity dropped dramatically in all markets. But in the stock market, you know, especially you look at, you know, S&P 500 futures liquidity, it's just dropped dramatically. And so we saw the stock market really take off into early 2018, the Volmageddon crash. And then stocks went up, made new highs. Powell raised interest rates, market kind of crashed into late 18 and, you know, bottomed around Christmas time of 2018. Then we saw a huge surge in the market. And then obviously the COVID crash made new lows. And so and now we've pushed up to new highs again. And this latest push higher has been largely a result of, you know, a speculative mania driven by, you know, retail traders just piling into the market like maybe we've never seen before in history. So I do think this is a stock market that's out of control. The latest, you know, rise in the market of the last, whatever it is, 15, 16 months is really a result of a speculative mania driven by retail traders. And if you look at this dispersion, you know, you see it in names like, you know, a lot of these popular meme stock names are really rolling over hard. You know, Plug Power is one that I was watching early in the year because that was one that was a really good sentiment indicator during the dot-com mania when that stock just screamed higher and then broke and started to crash. It was a good sign that retail fever 20-plus years ago was breaking at the same time. Plug is now down 60% off its peak, but even, you know, things like AMC and GameStop are starting to roll over today, you know, breaking down out of, you know, kind of sideways or pennant patterns, whatever, however you want to call them. But if those signs are pointing to, you know, the possibility of retail finally giving up, this retail fad starting to wane, then that's, you know, bad news for a market that has become very highly reliant on those flows into the market to push prices higher.
So, Jesse, doesn't this all just tell us that we still see rotation within these markets, even though we don't have very good breadth or horrible breadth in these markets? Money's not exactly leaving the markets. It's just being focused a bit more on select stocks, and it seems like a bit more on some of these high-flying tech stocks, because I read an article earlier this week that said something about Amazon gaining around $100 billion in market cap in just 2 days of trading. So, again, we're just seeing this rotation of money.
Yeah, it appears like a rotation, and that's exactly what it appeared like, too, in 2000. We had, you know, the Nasdaq blew off and peaked in March of that year, rolled over, never made a new high, but then, you know, money kind of went out of growth and into value, and then the New York Stock Exchange Composite made a new high in September of 2000. As it looked like, you know, people are just rolling out of these crazy growth names into value. And then the market rolled in, you know, late in 2000, early into 2001, rolled over into a, you know, a bigger decline. So a lot of these rotation periods, if you look at, you know, we've seen charts of the correlation, you know, between indexes and between growth and value. And the last time the correlation dropped between these things so much, between growth and value, to where it was such a strong rotation as we're seeing today, was in, you know, the middle of 2000. We're just, you know, when we were seeing a similar type of rotation. And to me, that rotation, you know, in order to be sustainable, you know, really needs to support those growth names, because it becomes such a huge part of the market. So as long as the growth trade is sustainable, you know, then the market can probably hold up. But a couple of things I'm paying close attention to. One is a lot of this dispersion can be, you know, potentially retail traders, participation kind of waning. But also if you look at smart money indicators, and there's two that I pay close attention to. One is essentially the insider sell to buy ratio. We're seeing that's just literally screamed to new highs, where insider selling over the last 12 months has far outweighed insider buying. And the last time we saw this, this indicator, you know, approach anywhere near as high as it is today was kind of late 14 into early 2015. If you remember that period, the market went nowhere over the next 12 months.
All right, Jesse, I have to cut you off. We are out of time for this segment, but I'm bringing you back on next segment. So everyone stick around. We're going to be right back with Jesse Felder.
Al Corlin's firm, A.B. Corlin & Associates Incorporated, provides consulting services to public companies on matters of regulatory compliance. To find out more, follow the link from www.kereport.com. The Corlin Economics Report will be back after this brief timeout.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
No other network provides the level of customer service we do. When it comes to radio advertising, we are your one-stop shop. And no matter how big or small your business is, we can help. Email us at advertise@gcnlive.com and an experienced advertising executive will help you take the first step towards driving more customers to your business or website. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
Hey everybody, if you've ever thought about heirloom beans as a storable survival food, I've got great news. In fact, I'll bet it's the best news you've heard in a while. Here's the thing, we've just received a fresh batch of gourmet heirloom beans, survival soup beans. These beans are gorgeous, highly nutritious, and above all, with no hesitation whatsoever, the best tasting beans in the entire world. The best part? We've dropped the price by 33% this week for listeners who know higher food prices are coming and want an inflation hedge you can actually eat if you want to. Gets even better. With your permission and with the high regard for your health and well-being, I also want to send you 2 pounds of what we think is the single most underrated superfood in the world, period. Go to soupbeansurvival.com, that's soupbeansurvival.com, and discover the real reason we're giving this unusual superfood away at soupbeansurvival.com, that's soupbeansurvival.com.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions, SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try Before You Buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
Your weekly weekly fix on finance and investing. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
Hey, everyone. Welcome back. Continuing to listen to the weekend edition of the KE Report. Chad and I are continuing to chat with Jesse Felder, founder and editor of the Felder Report. Now, Jesse, big picture, encompassing what we chatted about last segment, this whole narrative around weak breadth in these markets, but markets still holding up there, and that move a bit more into the growth trade. How much do lower interest rates have to do with this? Because it wasn't that long ago that we were talking about a rising interest rate environment, but now we look at something like the 10-year, that's back to levels we haven't seen since February of this year, back when it was trending higher. Now rates are trending lower. How critical is that to understand about how markets could potentially be supported, especially growth?
Well, that's a great question. I think it absolutely does help to explain a lot of the rotation we've seen. Rising interest rates, typically good for value versus growth, and small cap over large cap. And that's what we've seen, right? The interest rates bottomed back in March of last year, and rose until March of this year. So over that 12-month period, value outperformed growth, and small caps outperformed large caps. But rates peaked back in, March, April, and started to roll over pretty hard over the last couple of weeks. And so what have we seen? We've seen growth start to outperform value again for the first time in a while. And small caps, like I mentioned, have underperformed large caps. And so, yeah, that does explain it to a pretty significant degree. But that's one of the reasons why I've been looking at interest rates so carefully. But one of the things I'm seeing now is I use DeMarc indicators for technical, analysis purposes. We just saw today a daily DeMarc buy signal on the 30-year yield, which suggests rates could be bottoming here. And at the same time, we've seen tons of money pour into like ETFs like TLT. We've seen small speculators in 30-year futures who are massively short, buying a lot of their shorts over the last couple of weeks. So I think sentiment is turning towards bullish bonds again, right as technically rates could be bottoming and turning higher again. If that's the case, then this growth stock over value and large over small could potentially reverse again.
Well, speaking of interest rates, that usually ties into currencies, and the currencies ties into other aspects of the market. So what do you think about the recent strength in the dollar, which has pressured the commodity sector, and how does that, and is that strength in the dollar something that's sustainable, and will it continue to pressure commodities, or will this move also be muted because we saw the commodities have a great run at the beginning of the year, and then they've just gotten kind of hammered the last couple months as the dollar was selling off. That's why the commodities ran, but now that the dollar's bouncing, they're getting creamed, and that seems to tie into the interest rate factor.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, all these markets are closely interrelated, interest rates and currencies and commodities. And to me, I've been saying since January, I think my first market comment I wrote of 2020 was last year. 2020 is going to be the year to watch the dollar. And I still feel that way. It's been, a year and a half, and I'm still watching it as the most closely watched chart in everything I'm looking at, simply because I do think it is going to dictate the direction for a lot of different things. Obviously, the oil price is probably the most important one to watch in terms of commodities. It's kind of probably the heaviest component in most commodity indexes. And it's a big driver of inflation and these things. I've been bearish on the dollar and bullish on energy for at least a year now. The dollar's rolled over, but this bounce that we've seen is really, to me, not a very encouraging technical structure. If you're looking at a daily chart, yeah, I could see why you'd be maybe potentially bullish on the dollar. But any longer term, you look at a weekly or a monthly chart, and it's just bouncing off this 88, 89 horizontal support level. And until it, really kind of convincingly puts in a bottom above that, then I think we have to worry about a breakdown. Fundamentally, the twin deficits are very bearish for the dollar. I think that's an important bearish driver for the currency. But in the short run, I think it's, you know, one of the things I pay close attention to. I mentioned small speculators in the long bond a minute ago. Small speculators in dollar index futures, too, have put on their biggest net long position in years, in three or four years or something recently, which tells me these kind of weak bounces in the dollar have been enough to get people really optimistic and bullish on the greenback, which you know, is not very encouraging to me if I were a dollar bull. I'd want to see people with that's, you know, just bouncing right above long-term key horizontal support. I'd want to see people getting really bearish and worried about a breakdown, and they're doing just the opposite. We're seeing small speculators get very bullish on the dollar, and that's not a good sign. That tells me that if the dollar index does roll over again, as I think it probably will, there's a bunch of money that probably needs to, you know, get out of dollars and could catalyze that breakdown below support. Now, that would probably be, you know, obviously bullish for commodities, oil, gold, etc.
Jesse, when it comes to the dollar in particular, but also commodities, any other countries that you're watching closely? China gets referred to a lot when it comes to the commodity complex, especially what's going on in some base metals and other metals, but also considering what happens in the dollar index, what goes on in Europe too. So you focusing elsewhere on other countries, seeing any moves there?
Yeah, I think, you know, as I mentioned, I think the one I'm watching most closely is, you know, the oil price. And I think, you know, what's driving that is a lack of, you know, production picking up in the shale space. In the past, over the last, I don't know, 10 years, we've seen shale rise and become, you know, a really important player in the overall, you know, supply of oil globally. In the past, you know, 5 years or so, when the oil price has risen, shale has ramped up production, and that's kind of kept a lid on prices. The oil price has been ripping higher, and the shale producers are not ramping up production. Nobody really wants them to. I mean, investors in the energy stocks don't want them to, and politically, nobody wants them to ramp up production either, from, you know, ESG things to, you know, the government wanting to be more green and et cetera, et cetera. So I think you have that from the shale side, which is kind of putting an important change in the supply dynamic that we haven't seen in years. At the same time, OPEC, you know, obviously can't get its act together and raise production, you know, even though the oil price is ripping higher and economies are reopening. That this combined, you know, I guess, lid on supply paired with rapidly rising demand around the world could make for much higher oil prices over the next several months, or, you know, at least around a year.
Unfortunately for everyone listening on the radio, we are out of time for this interview, but to hear the full interview with Jesse Felder, you can visit our website, kereport.com, click on that weekend show posting. Everyone, stick around. We're going to be right back.
To find out more about today's guest, visit us on the web at www.kereport.com. You're listening to the Corlin Economics Report. We'll be back in a moment.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
The way things are going these days, do you ever ask yourself, when is the other shoe going to drop? The warning signs are everywhere. The next big danger is food shortages. That's why Americans are learning to be self-reliant and getting their emergency long-term food storage from My Patriot Supply. We're America's trusted leader in emergency preparedness. Over the past decade, My Patriot Supply has served millions of families and helped them prepare. Our delicious meal kits average 2,000 calories per day and stay fresh in storage up to 25 years. This is reliable food that will be there when disasters strike. And with the way things are going, you should grab some now. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com, order a starter kit for each member of your family, and we'll ship everything quickly and discreetly to your door. Don't wait and scramble with the masses when the news breaks. Instead, prepare today for what's coming. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com. That's MyPatriotSupply.com.
U.S. USA Radio News with Mike Fortier.
Changes coming to classrooms this fall. The CDC announcing Friday it's recommending all students K through 12 return to the classroom. The CDC says students benefit from in-person learning and safely returning to in-person instruction in the fall 2021 is a priority. You can see the recommendations at cdc.gov. Meanwhile, Pfizer announcing this week its COVID vaccine may be losing its effectiveness in preventing the virus. The company says it'll seek emergency use authorization for a booster shot. Dr. Anthony Fauci being asked if we need booster shots.
Right now, they don't. We feel that ultimately, at some point, we may need a boost as the durability of the response wanes. But we don't know that right now, and we don't know when that will be. But we are certainly in the process of trying to find out.
Fauci on ABC News Friday. Fauci also telling CNN, we respect what the pharmaceutical company is doing, but the American public should take their advice from the CDC and the FDA. This is USA Radio News. Haiti asking the U.S. to send 500 troops to protect the country's infrastructure, ports, and energy systems. This comes after Haiti's president was assassinated this week outside Port-au-Prince. Over two dozen people suspected in the attack, including two Americans. No word on a motive or who's behind the attack. U.S. sending investigators from the FBI and Homeland Security. 15 more bodies found Friday in Surfside, Florida, in the rubble of a collapsed condo. This makes 79 dead. 61 remain unaccounted for, and search crews remain at the scene around the clock.
The pile that originally was approximately 4 or 5 stories is now almost at ground level. So the progress that our search and rescue teams are making is really incredible.
Surfside Mayor Charles Burkett. Also, a cat lost in the collapse found alive and returned to its owner Friday. Extreme heat continues across the West. The expected high today in Death Valley in California, 130 degrees. That would tie an all-time record. Las Vegas may tie an all-time record too this weekend, as it's expected to reach 117 degrees. This is USA Radio News.
Do you have a home that you don't want anymore? We can buy it from you within 24 hours, any home, size, or condition. For over 20 years, we've been buying homes for cash and helping homeowners sell their homes immediately with no listings or strangers walking through your home. Are you moving? Did you lose your job? Going through a divorce? Whatever the reason, if you're in a bind and you know that you need to sell your house fast, call the expert team at I Need to Sell My House Fast. We'll make you a serious cash offer to buy your home in 24 hours and let you walk away from it. No listing, no waiting. Sell any home, any size, any condition, now. Call the expert team at I Need to Sell My House Fast. Make this free call now.
800-475-0092. 800-475-0092. 800-475-0092. That's 800-475-0092.
Providing unique reporting on markets and companies since 1990. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
All right, welcome back. Continuing to listen to the weekend edition of the KE Report. I hope everybody enjoyed those first two segments with Jesse Felder. In the next two segments, we are going to focus a bit more on actual investing in companies, more so exploration or smaller cap resource companies. Chad and I are chatting with Brian London. He is the editor of the Gold Newsletter, also our host down at the New Orleans Investment Conference. It is happening in kind of the mid to late part of October this year. Brian, as I mentioned on the intro here, we're going to talk a bit more on exploration companies because, quite frankly, for the precious metals investor right now, it's a tough market out there. The metals seem kind of stuck, and even more so, the stocks are continuing to lag. In no way are we seeing this whole rising tide lifting all stocks, and we're not actually even seeing gold breaking out to any significance that is bringing in new investors. So if you want to invest in the sector, you have to focus on the companies that are doing the work that you like. Where are you focused right now, Brian? What do you like out there?
Yeah, I've been frustrated, Corey, as I know you have been, by gold and the performance in gold and silver recently. There's so many cross currents out there with treasury yields plummeting, the dollar index actually showing some strength in the midst of that. The stock market starting to roll over a bit as we speak right now. And then gold showing early session strength repeatedly and then getting sold off in the afternoons. It's hard to really place any confidence in an upward trend in gold and silver right now. The long-term view I remain extremely bullish on, but we're going through this kind of summer doldrums, a lot of cross currents in all of the markets. And you know, for that reason, I'm not really focusing on either the producers at any level or the optionality plays, but more so on the exploration plays. We have a lot of companies that are drilling right now, and with results coming out and some plays that we really like their prospects. And these are the kinds of things that can go up regardless of where the market for the metals goes. You know, they're immune, have shown some immunity, and a really good drill hole is going to send a junior share price soaring regardless of what we see happening in the broader markets.
Well, Brian, as far as exploration plays, there's a couple of different philosophies on how to get positioned, so I'd be curious to get your thoughts. Some people like to wait until they see a discovery hole, and then they jump on a play. Other people like to get in when they've announced drilling and get in a little bit early, but you know, maybe after they've done the capital raise. Other people like to get in private placements and get in really early, just trusting the team. How do you like to get positioned in exploration plays? And you know, in an environment like this, what would you be looking for as far as the criteria in one of these drill plays?
Well, personally, I like to get in as early as possible. Now, there are exceptions to that. I believe we're the first newsletter or only newsletter to recommend Filo Mining, which is a really tremendous copper gold, copper silver play now. But when we recommended it, it was large and fairly well established, but hadn't hit that really big hit that we thought it could. And it went up about five times in a flash from our entry level after we had recommended it when they had that big hit just a couple months ago. So that was one where we were in kind of late, and it still worked out very well, but we still saw the potential. You know, one of the things that I really like for these kinds of plays isn't so much the grassroots greenfields discovery play, but more along the lines of a rediscovery play. Companies that are valued as if they found nothing or have found nothing yet, but they're going back and finding historical projects where there has been really good drill results, but the market has completely forgotten about that. We found a few of those recently that I don't think, you know, really have achieved their potential yet. So we really like those.
Brian, one thing that is encouraging about this sector, and we've talked about it a few times, is that companies are cashed up, right? So there is a lot of money and a lot of money being spent in the markets. What do you look for when companies are announcing drill programs, when they are outlining what they're going to do with these cash piles that we haven't seen companies have in a decade that they have right now?
Yeah, they have to have the money. That's something we've always looked for. They have to have the money to put forth a really good drill program that's going to be able to prove something up and deliver a lot of assays and intercepts. You know, it's still a numbers game in exploration, and the more drill holes you can punch, the greater the likelihood that you're going to get a good result. So we do like for them to have that money to be able to get a sound, fairly comprehensive program enacted. And the good news lately is that most companies have been able to raise the money. So that box is largely ticked off for these exploration plays. Another thing you want to look for is the size of the prize. You want something that if they do hit, it's going to have that size potential that's going to really impress the market. And grade, of course. High grade is always good, but it's in vogue even more so lately that a number of companies have been able to impress the market with high grade, and the investing public kind of follows that trend and is looking for higher grade exploration projects or projects that can turn out some impressive grades.
Well, Brian, you mentioned that you really like looking at companies that are going to a past producing mine area or a brownfields operation or something where there were some known resources, maybe from a prior company, and they're reinterpreting it and they're redrilling it and they're putting a new focus on it, a new team on it. Are there any companies that have caught your eye lately that you think are doing a good job in this regard and that are maybe not getting the value they should in the marketplace yet, but you think they're doing the right kind of work and have the right kind of team?
Yeah, there's a few that I really like right now. I like Heliostar Metals with their Unga project in southwestern Alaska. It's got a few hundred thousand ounces of really high-grade resource already. And by high-grade, I mean something along the lines of 10 grams per ton. But it's a project that has never been able to enjoy a well-funded exploration outfit that can do a comprehensive program. There's a number of targets and a number of previously successful drill operations on the project, but no company has been able to really go in and figure everything out. I think they have done that largely due to the talents and expertise of Charles Funk, the CEO, who is well known for being the VPX at Beasley Resources. So he really has a hot hand, and I think this is the second in a string of their successes that will be known as the second big success on his resume. They just really have gotten to understand the trends and are drilling off very high grade assays almost at will at this point, but the market has yet to appreciate it. A couple of other plays that we like that are drilling right now are Scorpio Gold. They're following up on some previous historic high grade hits on a project in Nevada. Drilling right now, results expected at any time. I like the potential for that company because the previous drill results were, again, very high grade, very impressive. I like Ophir Gold drilling on a project right now in Idaho where there was an historic resource. Again, not up to current standards, regulatory standards, but an historic resource of upwards of a 500,000 ounces at very high grades and even a bulk sample taken that validated those grades. All historic, not up to current 43-101 standards, but they're drilling into that historic resource to validate it and prove it right now. So I expect results from that project very soon as well. In full disclosure, I own Ophir personally and Scorpio, but I do not yet own Heliostar.
Hey, a lot of good comments there, Brian. Thank you, as always, for your time. I hope some people like some of those stocks. Feel free to send us any questions for Brian or for any of the companies that he brought up. And, hey, Brian, have a great rest of your weekend. Great having you back on the show. Thank you for your time.
Great talking to you guys. Appreciate it.
For listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNlive.com today.
Do you want to give you and your loved ones premium nutrition right now? Hi, I'm Jamil Bookaboo from TeamGaday.com and the GCN Longevity Health Team. Get your premium nutrition formulated by world-renowned naturopathic doctor, Dr. Joel Wallach at wholesale, or also become a distributor and earn income while supporting this broadcast. Go to TeamGaday.com via the shopping cart or contact form, and I'll get back to you with support personally. That's TeamGaday.com with Longevity. TeamGaday.com.
Yes, the pandemic is coming to an end. Restrictions are coming to an end. But body aches and pains never seem to end. That's why you need to click sunny-bay.com for the best sleep you can get. Sunny Bay's legendary products can help, like our lavender stress-reducing products, locally sourced and handmade in the USA. Or try Sunny Bay's award-winning pillows for traveling or extra neck support while sleeping. No need for pills or expensive chiropractic visits. Our neck support pillows are that good. Sunny Bay is a homegrown small business, but our products are designed and rigorously tested based on your demand and feedback. And they make great gifts for mom, dad, or anyone. Find Sunny Bay products on Amazon, Walmart, Etsy, or at sunny-bay.com. And right now, get free heat patches and a belt with any purchase. So remember, Sunny Bay heating pads, neck pillows, and stress-relieving hot or cold wraps. As restrictions come to an end and you get back to work, do it the healthy way with Sunny Bay.
Looking for that edge during those intimate moments? We see many ads for enhancement, but the side effects include death. At GCN Team, we should change the Healthy Body, Brain, and Heart Pack to the Healthy Libido Pack. The brain and heart are not the only organs that require a healthy vascular system. For proper blood flow at the right moment, go to GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203. We've entered a time where sky truly is the limit and opportunity awaits. The internet has become a platform of everyone's worldwide communications. Billionaires building businesses on platforms that didn't even exist a generation ago. But in the sea of noise, how can the voice of your business be heard? The secret is over 100 years old. Radio, 228% more effective than TV. That's 228% more effective than television. Brick and mortar and cyber businesses alike have found radio to be the most effective for building a brand and delivering customers. Learn the secrets of radio advertising by calling 877-996-4327 or email advertise@gcnlive.com. That's advertise@gcnlive.com.
Stop aging now. Restore those joints. Boost your strength. Because it's official. NutraMedical has released the most exciting, powerful anti-aging supplement on the market. Dr. Bill Deagle's Red Deer Velvet DR has been approved by the U.S. Patent Office. Imagine stem cell rejuvenation all in one capsule without huge expense. Dr. Bill MD discovered that as an unborn baby grows in the mother's womb, he or she does not deteriorate or physically age. Red Deer Velvet DR, like the uterus, provides 300 biomolecules and 6 hormones protected in one special DR capsule that delivers lipid packages directly into your circulation. This patented technology bypasses the stomach and is released into the small bowel unaltered by digestive enzymes and stomach acid. Remember, Red Deer Velvet DR. Improve endurance, stimulate your immune system, increase learning ability, and even improve sexual libido with Red Deer Velvet DR. Click NutriMedical.com. That's NutriMedical.com. Or call toll-free 888-212-8871 and get on the road to a newer, rejuvenated, happier you.
All right, welcome back here to wrap up the weekend edition of the KE Report. Chad and I are joined by Jordan Royburn, founder and editor of the Daily Gold. And Jordan, last segment we talked a lot about gold stocks. In this segment I want to get some of your updates on gold's technicals and also that environment for gold stocks. Let's start off with gold's technicals here. Gold, I had kind of a mixed week, I guess, again this week, but quite frankly, look, gold has rebounded from about 1750 level. It's not a straight up move, but at least there's maybe a short term uptrend. Either way, still a lot of work for gold to do on the upside, I think, to bring in more investors. What are some of the key levels that you are looking at right now here, Jordan, when it comes to the gold chart?
Well, yeah, I mean, we got a short-term low in gold, and what we've seen over the last couple of days or the last week or two is we see gold, or we see the gold stocks, we see relative weakness there, and we see gold is starting to outperform silver again, which makes sense with the macro environment. I mean, the rally that we're having, it's an oversold bounce. Those kind of things are indicative of a weak market. But as far as the levels for gold, I mean, I see on my screen it's up to 1812 and change. If you look at where I think the 50, the 200-day are both right about 1833. If you're just looking at the price action itself, I can see gold getting up to the 1840 range. I think your absolute best case scenario is 1850. So my guess is we see this rally peter out around 1840-ish.
That would be another lower high for gold. That would be a continuation of this downtrend. Jordan, let's split it up between short-term and long-term. Long-term outlook, when you look at the monthly chart, even the weekly chart, okay, look, gold still has this upward bias because of the nice run it went through 2019 through the first half of 2020. But the last about 10 months, it's almost been a short-term bear market for gold. So that's been struggling on that end. And even if the recent or next high is 1850, That's another lower high. What's your balance here between long-term, I guess, bullish still looking charts, but short-term kind of bearish charts?
Yeah, I mean, it's still in correction mode that began last August. So we're a few weeks away from 1 year of the correction. And, you know, gold had a pretty strong move, I think it's 75% in 2 years, and that has to be corrected. Now, what's disappointing is not the correction. What's disappointing is the fact that gold has not been able to consolidate in a bullish fashion. And so what I mean is you have the clear resistance now at 1900 on the weekly, monthly, quarterly charts. I mean, you also have 1950 on the daily chart. You know, the high is, let's just call it near 2100. So it's in the upper 2000s there. So gold is consolidating and correcting, but I mean, it hasn't been able to trade up near the old highs. But if you go back to the 2000s when it was consolidating several times, it did so in a more bullish fashion to the way that it's doing now. So that's the disappointment, is that it's clearly correcting. It's not consolidating bullishly. I mean, I had some hope after last month, or was it after May? I had some hope after May. We got into June. Maybe we can consolidate and build this handle in a bullish fashion. But that just went out the window. We saw huge selling at the beginning of June. So, I mean, that's where we are. I mean, we're still building the handle on this pattern. And like I said, you know, a week or two ago, gold could come down and test 1575 and the handle would still be intact. So, and the other thing with the handle, we were talking about the time. I mean, the handle could take 3 years to form. It could take another 2 years to form, and gold could come down to 1575 and consolidate for another couple of years. I'm not predicting that. I'm just saying, look, if we're taking a bird's eye view, those things are possibilities for sure, and we can't completely rule them out at this point. So, yes, very big picture, long term. I'm very confident that gold is going to, you know, eventually break out of this handle. You know, my bias is I think it's going to happen sometime next year. But if I'm wrong, you know, it could be 2023, the year after. I know that sounds terrible. And, you know, what's really going to matter is a lot of the macro developments. I mean, guys like me will be looking at charts, I mean, predicting all of these things based off lines. But it's really going to be the macro developments that are going to tell us where the market will go.
Well, Jordan, I would like to just maybe take the other side of this discussion, because the focus at the beginning here was on the, you know, the lower highs. But if you back up a little bit and take the macro picture on the price action, you know, we had the pandemic crash down to 1450 in gold. And then we had the March double bottom around 1673, 1675. If gold breaks that 1675 and starts heading down, that would be pretty bad. That would cause some chart damage. But if it can put in a higher low here where it may have just done that and keep consolidating, then the move we saw higher in April and May could have been the beginning of a move higher. And yeah, we pulled back in June, but if we put in a higher low, which is, you know, the other side of the equation here, couldn't this still be part of a trend where it's gradually working its way higher?
Yeah, I mean, if I'm wrong, you would see gold on the daily chart. First, it's got to get above that high around 1905, 1910, and then it has to rally up to 1950. I mean, if gold can rally up to 1950 on this leg, then we can presume that the bottom has been in and the correction is over. I just, you know, if you look at the in real term, you know, one thing you mentioned, gold had that, you know, the COVID crash, but even, you know, immediately after the COVID crash, gold was outperforming everything. If you look at the relative, the ratio charts, gold against the stock market, I mean, that's at a multi-year low. So gold just in real term, you know, I'm not seeing any divergences. Like, gold is not diverging as far as gold against foreign currencies. So the market is really, really weak, and I just don't have a lot of hope that it's going to, you know, rally up to 1950. But I mean, that is a case. You know, you always have to keep in mind the other case or other cases that can prove you wrong, because nobody can predict the future. And I could be wrong. I've been wrong before. And I will be wrong in the future, but that's kind of that's the technical outlook right now. I mean, gold, this rally has got to get up to at least 1900, 1905, that high. And then if it can go to 1950, that would tell me the correction is over. But, that's my bias, is it's going to fizzle out around 1840, 1845.
Well, let's shift things over to the mining stocks, Jordan, because right now, let's just say it's roughly $1,800 gold, $26 silver. It's an environment where most of the producers are still doing quite well, even though they have sold off pretty hard this week and last week. And it's an environment where development projects, you know, if they're priced anywhere close to the current levels of gold or silver, are becoming increasingly more valuable. So it's really an interesting dynamic where the sentiment's pretty bad in the sector right now, but the prices are not that bad. I mean, if you look at the long-term picture, these are great prices for producers and developers, and the explorers are going to move agnostic of the price if they make a discovery. But there has been pressure in the stock. So how are you looking at it from a big picture, you know, looking at GDX or GDXJ or SILJ, and then how do you look at it when you kind of trickle down into the juniors?
Well, I mean, on an individual stock basis, I think you have to look at things fundamentally. And, I mean, I am looking at, you know, I have seen some junior producers sell off considerably. There's one I added to my watch list last week. So I am looking at, again, and we talked about this before, let's just remove metals prices from the equation when you're looking at these things and then factor in, okay, who's going to add value over the next year or two? And, you know, I think those are the companies that you want to buy. So if you have a junior producer that's growing production, you know, they're in a healthy cash position, you know, they have the ability to grow their production materially without, you know, taking on hundreds of millions of debt or damaging their share structure. I mean, those are the things that I think you have really good entry points here. You know, maybe they have another 10 or 15% downside, but, you know, in a flat market in the next 2 years from now, they can add a significant amount of value. So that's, I mean, it's easier with producers and developers to factor that in, kind of quantify their potential in this kind of market. With explorers, I mean, it's more difficult, and there's, you know, it's hard to put all the explorers in one group, but that's a lot more difficult in my opinion. There's just a lot. I mean, it's more unpredictable, and you know, you have to look and find, see if you can find really good values. I mean, there are some that are out there, but you really have to hone in on the fundamentals, you know, what they're looking for, the odds of them finding it, then what it would be valued in the market, you know, what is their share structure going to look like in 18 months. So those are the things that I'm looking at.
Okay. Jordan, great chatting with you. Thank you for taking some time on this weekend show. Everybody, thank you for tuning in. A pleasure putting together this show again and also covering a lot of stocks as we have been doing week after week. Please be sure to go back through all of our daily editorials, click on the ones that interest you, and definitely pay attention to the company ones. And keep the emails coming, either fleck@kereport.com or shad@kereport.com. We love hearing from each and every one of you, and we do our best to follow up with all of your emails and the companies that you are asking about. Jordan, everyone else, thanks for tuning in. Have a great rest of your weekend, everyone.
For our upcoming appearance schedule, visit kereport.com. The Corlin Economics Report will be back in just a moment.
Hey, everybody. If you've ever thought about heirloom beans as a storable survival food, I've got great news. In fact, I'll bet it's the best news you've heard in a while. Here's the thing. We've just received a fresh batch of gourmet heirloom beans, survival soup beans. These beans are gorgeous, highly nutritious, and above all, with no hesitation whatsoever, the best tasting beans in the entire world. The best part? We've dropped the price by 33% this week for listeners who know higher food prices are coming and want an inflation hedge you can actually eat if you want to. It gets even better. With your permission and with a high regard for your health and well-being, I also want to send you 2 pounds of what we think is the single most underrated superfood in the world, period. Go to soupbeansurvival.com, that's soupbeansurvival.com, and discover the real reason we're giving this unusual superfood away at soupbeansurvival.com, that's soupbeansurvival.com.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. I started fighting the IRS over 40 years ago when they tried to seize my mother's house. I sued the IRS and won. I beat the IRS then, and I've been beating them ever since. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I've helped thousands of people deal with tax problems they thought might never be solved. I can help you, too. If you owe taxes you can't pay, don't wait another day. There's no such thing as a hopeless tax case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com, danpilla.com.
You've seen crazy diets to lose weight.
At GCN Team, our healthy body weight loss system simply neutralizes the body, bringing down cravings. It has been proven that nutritional deficiencies drive appetite for carbs, sugars, and fats. Lose weight the easy way. Find us at GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. Fighting cravings is a fool's game. Give the body what it needs to be satisfied. Again, 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203.